20 minutes to 10, RNZ National, Nights with Karen Hay. And my next guest is the Chief Economist at New Zealand Initiative, Dr. Eric Crampton. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening.
Cold water swimming, what do you reckon?
Oh, just bringing back some memories. I used to live in South Brighton, and there's a few winters back. Well, it was several winters back now. We had snow that went right down to the water's edge. And our kids were still pretty young, so we bundled them up in their snowsuits, and we were going to go sledding off the dunes, going down towards the sea. We had these little plastic sleds, and they were really bundled up for the cold. And as we were walking up the one side of the dunes to try sledding, some guy was walking up the other side in a wetsuit, having just gone for a cold water swim. He was crazy, and you might. We are crazy, but we all had fun, so that was good.
Yeah, that's good. All right, economics. You want to talk about inflation, big news of the day, and the central bank policy. Can we just start with some definitions, 101, for me, if you don't mind. You're labelled a libertarian. Can you give us a definition of what that means in relation to the economy?
Of a definition of inflation or a definition of libertarianism?
Libertarianism in relation to the economy.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess there's a couple of ways of looking at this. I normally, when I am acting as economist, I try and take off the libertarian hat and give my best down-the-line assessment of economics as I best understand it, trying to take the mainstream. Libertarian economists in particular would emphasize the risks of policy overreach. They would remind that policies fail as well as markets. It's not just going to be market failure. There's also the risk that governments are going to get things wrong and that we need to be really careful to make sure that we aren't jumping from seeing that markets fail to that governments are necessarily a very good solution. When it comes to monetary policy, there's been a reasonable influence of sort of libertarian economists in emphasizing the case for price stability. It got picked up later on by the mainstream, and it's now very much a part of the mainstream consensus that central banks should be independent and that they should be very hawkish in dealing with inflation, in trying to keep inflation to a target and keeping it at around 2% or perhaps a little lower, and certainly not letting it run loose the way that it has been recently.
So, right, they haven't been very hawkish here in New Zealand then and are letting it run loose, in your opinion.
Well, it has been. So the discourse over the past couple of years was first that, well, if we go back to 2020, there was a lot of uncertainty, and a mainstream economics view on it would be that one of the lessons out of the Great Depression was to not accidentally be too tight going into an economic downturn. So Milton Friedman's work, he was a libertarian, but he's a monetarist and a macroeconomist first and foremost. And he'd seen that an accidental contraction in the money supply in the early 1930s helped precipitate the Great Depression. So one of the big lessons that we learned out of that was don't do that. So that led to some fairly loose monetary policy in early 2020. Some more hardcore libertarians, and I wasn't making that call at the time, were arguing that the government needed to be a lot more constrained in monetary policy at very early on, but it quickly became obvious that the kinds of shocks that monetary policy was trying to deal with weren't classic kinds of shocks that are best responded to through fairly easy monetary policy. Instead, we were dealing with supply shocks coming in from overseas that were making it that had net inflationary kinds of pressure behind them. They were going to make it harder for the economy to be running well. And if anything, we were going to be seeing some tightness in domestic labor markets that were going to be fueling overall capacity pressures. So it was a difficult scenario for the bank to be dealing with. And they didn't change course nearly quickly enough. We've now seen the results of it. The bank has gotten itself into a pretty difficult spot. So it's not just a libertarian case. This is fairly mainstream. The keynote address at the New Zealand Economic Association's meetings in 2018 was from Bob King. He's an eminent macroeconomist, monetary guy, monetary history. He was reminding everyone there that central banks losing credibility is incredibly expensive. So what do I mean here?
Yes, what do you mean by losing credibility?
Yes, of course. So inflation really depends not just on what the Reserve Bank is currently doing, but also what everybody is expecting that the Reserve Bank is going to be doing. So imagine that you had perfect certainty that the Reserve Bank was going to do whatever it took to make sure that inflation didn't get beyond 3%. That would feed through into everybody's expectations about inflation, that it would affect things like companies' price setting and wage setting, and all of these different aspects of how people form their decisions going forward. When you have that credibility, it's really easy for a bank to deal with something like a surprise or an oops. So in King's work, he was talking about how if the bank accident makes a mistake, and this can happen, right? It's really hard to get monetary policy right. You need to have a system where you don't have too costly of errors. So if the bank makes a mistake and everybody expects that the bank really cares most about inflation and wants to get it back on track and will be trying to get it back on track, it's a lot easier for the bank to accommodate the consequences of its errors and not have to fight back against all of it. So that means that it doesn't have to increase interest rates by as much to deal with it, and consequently, unemployment wouldn't go up by as much. If instead gotten itself into a spot where people don't really believe it anymore and aren't sure that it is going to actually be fighting inflation, then it's a far harder job because the bank almost has to overreact compared to what it would be doing if people trusted it, to because they're not just fighting inflation anymore, they're also fighting the reputation that they have had, and they're trying to rebuild a reputation. I worry that we've gotten into that latter spot recently. So the bank itself did a survey. They released the results of it fairly recently, but the survey was from June, July. And there they had a representative panel of people who were asked questions about inflation and their understanding of it and their expectations about what the bank would be doing. They also had a self-selected sample. So people who just went in and answered the survey because they really care a lot about Reserve Bank policy. Between the two sets of people, you didn't have more than 60% that had, or, sorry, you had about 60% that were either had very little confidence that the Reserve Bank was going to get inflation back within bounds by 2024, or only a little confidence. So the representative sample, about 60% of people had at least no more than just a little confidence. And then you had some that had some confidence, and basically nobody had a lot of confidence. And among the self-selected group, who on all the other questions knew an awful lot more about monetary policy, they had very little confidence. So the modal response, most people had very little confidence that the bank would get things back on track by 2024. And then from there, it went into a little bit. Those added up to about 70%. All of that means that it's going to be a lot harder for the bank to get things back where they need to be. And they're back into the spot where they almost have to overreact to start rebuilding credibility. And it's really sad because New Zealand pioneered Reserve Bank independence and inflation targeting, and we seem to have thrown it all away under the current governor.
Why is it so random? You've just said the current governor, but is it one person? Why is it so random internally that they haven't got this credibility?
Well, normally the New Zealand tradition has been that we've had a lot of reliance on the governor, and the governor has been backed by a pretty expert team, and they set monetary policy. There was a shift to a monetary policy committee acting under the remit of the Reserve Bank to target inflation and figure out what the official cash rate should be in doing so. Unfortunately, and this is, I think, unique in the world, the government took the view in that shift that any academic economist in the country who has an active research interest in macro and monetary economics and wants to do ongoing work in it, they would be conflicted and not allowed to be on the Monetary Policy Committee. And it's really weird because at other central banks around the world, you see top experts that wind up helping make these decisions, and they'll kind of shift between academia and the Federal Reserve. They'll write academic research papers while they're at the Federal Reserve. here in New Zealand, Minister Robertson decided that that was going to be a conflict of interest and that nobody who's actually an expert in it should be allowed as an external member of the Monetary Policy Committee. When I've told economists abroad about this, they're just shocked.
It sounds like a lot of MPs, really, who go into cabinet and have portfolios and have never done any work in it in the past.
Well, it's a problem, right? Because the Reserve Bank policy on monetary policy, it's one of the innovations that New Zealand came to was having an independent central bank that's mainly staffed by experts who have one big job, and that's watching monetary policy, making sure that inflation stays on track, and keeping it out of the hands of the politicians. And that's part of Reserve Bank credibility, that it's always tempting for a government to try to goose economic growth in the short term by running loose monetary policy and hoping that the inflationary consequences come after the election. So that's been a problem in macro and monetary economics that economists have worked on since at least the 1970s. And that led to the independent central banking regime that we pioneered here in the early 1990s and late 1980s. So tying Parliament's hands against interfering in monetary policy has been really important. But now we've gotten into the spot where it almost feels like Parliament has been happy with the increased tax revenue that they get when the Reserve Bank lets things run loose, because they don't update the income tax thresholds as inflation pushes people into higher and higher tax bands. So that means that the government's accounts look better. Government doesn't update the wages that it pays people nearly as quickly as they get more money in through inflation's effects on taxation. And the remit of the Reserve Bank also shifted to having a dual mandate. So what that means is the bank is supposed to be watching for maximum sustainable employment at the same time as it's watching inflation. Now, if you get the economics of all of that just right, it doesn't really make a difference. The two of those should work towards the same end. But what it does do is loosen accountability a little bit, because it means that the bank can always claim that they are putting a little bit more emphasis on the employment aim rather than the inflation aim. And in the long run, there really isn't much of a trade-off between the two, because unemployment isn't really decided in the longer term by whatever the Reserve Bank does. The Reserve Bank can shift things around in the short to medium term, but over the longer term, it can't. Instead, it's really determined by other structural factors outside of the Reserve Bank's control. So we've lost some of that accountability, and we've lost the emphasis on expertise at the bank in making these decisions. They've seemed kind of distracted. If you look through the annual reports of the Reserve Bank going back the past few years, they've talked more about climate change than they have about inflation and monetary policy. And climate change is desperately important, but it's not really the Reserve Bank's job. The Reserve Bank's job is inflation.
Well, you're damning them to hell. Grant Robertson would not like to hear what you've been saying tonight, Eric. But
Robertson should not reappoint Adrian Orr.
I was going to say, should they do a Wayne Brown and sack Adrian Orr and clean out the Reserve Bank? Start again.
You can't sack and maintain independence, but the governor is up for reappointment next year. And it would be a very bad mistake to reappoint the current governor. So if part of the problem that the Reserve Bank is facing is that they have to rebuild credibility so that people trust that they actually care most about inflation again, they can either do that by increasing interest rates by a lot more than they otherwise would have to prove to everybody that they actually care about inflation this time, or we make a credible appointment as governor, someone who understands monetary policy and monetary economics, someone who's academically credible, and who is an inflation fighter.
Who would you suggest?
I would suggest looking overseas in the first instance. I would not make an appointment from within the bank as it is.
I've got a text here from Martin. He says, this is politics, not economics.
All of this is bog standard macro monetary economics that you'll take in any 300 level course in economics. You'll learn about inflation targeting, OCR, pass-through mechanisms. All of this is sort of core macroeconomics, and then it interfaces with politics. And when you get into regimes for central bank independence and making sure that the central bank does its one big job.
Right now, we are facing the highest domestic inflation since records began. We're in your words, we're a terrible mess. Some see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but solution besides reinventing the wheel with the Reserve Bank, you take the politics out of it. What can they do now?
Well, the monetary policy is ultimately what drives inflation. Parliament is not helping with a pretty strong fiscal push. Again, this isn't a libertarian thing. This is bog standard mainstream economics. You could ask any New Keynesian, you don't run a strong, a big government deficit to fund a lot of spending with this big net positive fiscal impulse while you have severe capacity constraints in the economy. Overheating, inflation, and very tight labor markets. All it does is run up prices further and means that the Reserve Bank has to push even harder to get things back in line. So there's two ways of reconciling that. You can increase tax by a fair bit, or you can reduce spending. Either way, you have to get the deficit back down. If we remember taking off the straight econ side and going a bit more on the libertarian side, we should remember that Parliament is spending an awful lot more than it was spending 5 years ago. A lot of it has nothing to do with the pandemic. We are still running make-work programs that were set in 2020 when everybody was thinking we were going to have mass unemployment. We're clearly not in that state of the world. All that that spending does is push up prices. I would suggest it makes more sense to trim that spending back to bring things back into balance rather than to increase taxes to be able to maintain the levels of government spending that are consistent with, well, the kinds of scenarios we were thinking about in 2020, where we thought there'd be mass unemployment.
Okay, lots of questions for you, Eric. We've only got a couple of minutes, but so why is inflation so high in the USA and UK?
Inflation everywhere is very high. The globally, reserve banks pushed pretty hard monetarily to in response to the pandemic, but other places are facing a lot of pressures that we're not. So across Europe, they are facing an insane energy crisis that we are happily avoiding. So as bad as things seem here on petrol prices, it's far, far worse in Europe. They are looking at potentially blackouts this winter. The UK just had a warning that they might have blackouts during some of the coldest days in January for want
I
of.
saw that 3 hours a day,
Yeah.
power off.
So all of that means that you're getting huge price pressure coming through from an energy price shock. Now, New Zealand hasn't had that, and yet we are still having very high inflation. In Europe, they're dealing with all of the consequences of war in Ukraine. We're fairly insulated from that. You could look also at Switzerland, who's been able to maintain inflation at just over 3% and is looking to be getting it back down to 2% because they have run a more traditional line on monetary policy.
Very good, Eric. I'm so sorry we can't carry on this discussion because there's a lot more to be said, but thank you for opening that door for us. And very good to talk to you, and we'll speak again.
Thank you so much. I've had fun.
Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative, Dr. Eric Crampton. And we could have gone into the discussion that Grant Robertson today pointing the finger at offshore forces that are out of our control. So there's a lot there to speak about. And thank you very much for your very learned texts and emails, which I'll come to after the 10 o'clock news if I have time.